Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and we have been talking to Dr. Rich McCarroll, who was our keynote speaker for our missions conference a few weeks ago. And Rich, what a blessing it is just to talk about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, and how awesome it is to have a God who is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right. And I really believe that that is that which motivates us and gives us passion to share it with others.
Right.
You can look at all of the saviors, quote-unquote, of the world, all of the religious leaders of the world, but Greg, there's only one. There's only one that was and is God in the flesh, God incarnate, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth as the incarnate God, the enfleshment of God.
Right.
He will be for all eternity the enfleshment of God. When we see God, we will see Christ. He is the enfleshment of God. There is only one God, one religious leader, whatever you want to call him, who lived a sinless life, and that was Jesus Christ, because he was God in the flesh. He could not sin. He was sinless. 1 Corinthians says, in him was no sin. There was never a sinful thought, a sinful word, a sinful attitude, a sinful action. And then because he was sinless, he could die for my sin. He could die for your sin. He could die
exactly
for the sins of all of those who are listening, because the wage of sin is death. But he didn't die for his sin. He died a substitutionary death for our sin.
Right.
And then, of course, he rose again in power and glory. And so there's an empty tomb that testifies to his resurrection. Jesus Christ is the only one on this earth who ever was God incarnate, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death, and rose again from the grave. And therefore, he is the only way, the only truth, the only life.
Right.
And it is no different than for me if I were a doctor and I had developed a cure for cancer. I would have a passion. I would have a desire to share that. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we really need to get a real sense of the fact that he is the only way. He's not to be compared with any other way, because he is the only way.
Right.
And we need to have a passion to be sharing that with others here and around the world. Absolutely.
And so when we consider that, we just begin to understand that the world knows they're hungry, but they don't know what they're hungry for.
Exactly right. And you know, that is a great analogy, because when I challenge the folks within my congregation to reach out to others, many times as soon as we challenge people, they're thinking, then I sell all and I go to Africa. I sell all and I go to the deepest, darkest parts of the world. I say no. We begin to feed people here. And I think there's a great analogy in a very familiar biblical story, the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only account, the story, that occurs in all four Gospels. So there is something tremendously
very
important.
Very significant,
there.
Yes.
Very significant. And what you have is you have hungry people. And they didn't have KFC. They didn't have Taco Bell. They didn't have any stores around them. These people were hungry. And by the way, at least 5,000, because when the Bible says, it says there were 5,000 men.
Men, yeah.
Yeah, and in that culture, as you know, Greg, they only counted the men. So
right,
when you had
right.
the women and the children, far more than 5,000. And so the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, what will we do? And Jesus asked, well, how much bread do you have? What do you think we ought to do? And the biblical text says he knew what he was going to do. He was testing them. And then Christ asked five things, and I find this tremendously significant. The first thing he asked his disciples was, what do you have? The second thing he said was, bring it to me. The third thing he said was, divide the people up into companies, smaller companies. The fourth thing he said was, you give them to eat. And the fifth thing the biblical text says is that the disciples picked up the fragments, and each one of them had their own basket. There were 12 baskets.
Take home a basketful.
That's right. Now, I look at that, and so I say to my people, right there is the pattern. Don't start thinking deep, darkest Africa. Don't start thinking what you can't do. Just
sure.
answer the simple question, what do you have? You have a home. You have a car. You have children. You have resources. You have a voice. You have hands. What do you have? Just make a list of what you have.
Right.
Then secondly, take that gift and give it all to God. Commit that home to God.
Give it all to God.
Give it all to God.
The little boy didn't keep some of the
absolutely
loaves and
not.
Some of the fishes.
No, absolutely not.
No.
No. Give it all to God, the house to God, the car to God, the finances to God, the children to God. Give it all to God. Give it all to God. Then, third, look at the company where God has placed you.
Uh-huh.
If Christ had just taken one disciple, stuck him up in front of these thousands and thousands of people and said, feed him, the man would have been stressed out. No. But you know what? After Christ divided them up into companies, he could say to a disciple, hey, you take these four companies here, you take these three companies here.
Right.
So then, look at the company where God has placed you. Look at the field where God has placed you. Bloom there. Just today, I heard someone say, and I really loved it, this person said, the Lord has a way of transplanting us from where we are blooming to where he wants us to bloom. So we bloom where we are, and the Lord transplants us. So you're in a neighborhood where God placed you.
Right.
You're at a workplace. You're at a school. Use what you have. You've given it to God. And then reach out to your company. Use that car, which is now God's, by the way. You've
right.
given it to God.
Exactly.
To bring those kids to Awana. Well, Pastor, they may get my car dirty. Excuse me, I thought you gave that car to God.
Whose car is it?
No longer your car.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Use your home for a neighborhood Bible study. Contact a pastoral staff of a good evangelical Bible preaching church where you're a member of. And if you're not, then get to one.
Right.
Like Brookside.
Right.
But contact the pastoral staff and say, hey, would one of you pastors be willing to come into my home and teach a weeknight Bible study in my home? You say, man, if I start asking all these neighbors to come in, they may mess up my home. Well, wait a minute. Whose home is it?
Exactly.
You've given it to God. So what do you have? Give it to God. Then look at the company where he has placed you. Don't look at the world. Just look at the place where he has placed you. And then you feed them. Get the training. Get the help. Get the vision. You feed them. You reach out to them with the help of pastors and others within that area. And just share with them the simple gospel of Christ.
Right.
You know what he'll do? He will repay you just like he repaid those disciples. You will have a basket that is overflowing with fragrance. Now, when you start doing that within your area, God may take you another place. God may broaden your vision. But the fact is, you need to start feeding the people in your specific locality right now and feeding them the bread of life.
Right.
And then see where the Lord leads you. And we have seen that just work in a phenomenal way. We have a young man in our church who works for a medical research company. And he works on medical machinery, fixing it up, cleaning it up. And he just began to do this. And just within his place, just sharing with people in the office. And then an opportunity came that they had a call to this company to go to a small, little, insignificant, Muslim-dominated country that nobody had even heard of.
Wow.
Eritrea. And nobody wanted to go and work on that medical equipment. But then they said, send Mark.
Huh.
Send Mark. Because I bet you Mark would want to go and represent Jesus Christ. These were unbelievers who
Amazing.
Mark had just been interacting with within this medical company.
Sure.
Mark has been to Eritrea 5 times. And just sharing with people one-on-one the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God's now using him in short-term mission trips. And I think that's exactly what happened. We reach out where we are with the passionate message that we do have the answer. And then the Lord uses us where we are and uses us also in many other places.
That is so exciting. Because when you consider that little boy that had the loaves and fishes, Jesus said, I know what I'm going to do.
That's exactly right. He knew.
The boy hadn't given him the fishes,
right.
those, but
right.
but he knew what he was going to do. And so many times we look at what we have and it's not sufficient.
That's right.
Just like Moses said to God, I can't speak. Just like
right.
Gideon said to God, I don't have the ability to lead this army. And we can just go on and on and on. And God basically says, so what's your point? I'm not talking about what you can do. And that's, in essence, what he was saying to his disciples. I'm not talking about what you can do in feeding these people. I already know what I'm going to do.
That's right. You know, Greg, when I was in junior high and high school, I stuttered so bad that the first day of school was always a terror to me because my last name begins with an M, and stutterers always struggle with M's. And when I was in college, first year of Bible college where my parents had asked me to go, the Lord laid upon my heart the vision of ministry. And I ran. I ran for 2 years in absolute panic and fear. And then it was at a missions conference where I said, Lord, here is my voice. And today I'm preaching 3, 4, 5 times a week, then to Indonesia and India. And I still at times stumble over some words, but every time I stumble, it reminds me that it's not me. In my weakness, he is strong. And you know, Greg, I'm absolutely convinced that if I ever took my voice back, if I ever became some other type of public speaker, that my stuttering problem would come back.
Right.
The only reason I don't stutter today is because it's the power of the Lord within me.
Because God said, who made your voice?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think in so many different areas, we think too large. And it is so simple. The Lord just says, whatever you have, just give it to me. I'll use it. I'll use you to feed those in your company, and I'll repay whatever you may spend, whatever you may spend.
And the neat thing is the fact that the boy gave it all.
Absolutely.
Without saying, okay, now I need at least one of these fishes and one of these loaves of bread. I believe he trusted the Lord to give back to him what he would need
Absolutely.
To eat.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And isn't that exactly the way the Lord operates?
That's right. Always. Always. Now, the interesting thing is, and because we are fleshly, it's interesting that there were 12 fragments left over. So each disciple had their own basket. They went from the feeding of the 5,000 onto a boat. And within a matter of hours, they were in a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they absolutely panicked. And I love what Dr. James Boyce talks about that. He said, isn't that so much like us?
Mm.
Here they were sitting with these very baskets, which reminded them of the care of God.
Sure.
And here they were in a panic. So what did God do? He appeared to them again and graciously ministered to them and sustained them and presented himself to them. And that is just such a reassurance to my life as well, that even after God provides in such a tremendously sufficient way, there are some times when I encounter a storm, I just need to look at that reminder of God's care and just say, yes, the Lord does care and will sustain. His grace is all sufficient and he will use us. But here's the thing. He's not going to get into a tug of war with Rich McCarroll.
Right.
He's not going to do it. And so I want to say, Lord, here's my voice, here's my body, here's my home, here's my car, here's my children, here's all that you have given me. I give it back to you. I just want to be a faithful steward. And if you can use that and through me share Christ with others, God be glorified.
And when we finally do that, then God says, well, it's about time.
That's right. You're right.
And I will be glad to use it, whether it be the rod that Moses had or whatever. God says, I'll be glad to use it. And you know, folks, as you're listening to us talk to you this morning, you may be in your car or at work or in your own living room. You may be saying, but what do I have? Well, then stop today and ask God to identify what is it that you have? What contact do you have? What ability do you have? What influence do you have? And whatever it is, before you leave your quiet time this morning, give it to God. Because when we give it to him, he gives it back, empowered for his glory. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.